Okay, so first off, I just want to say thank you very much for taking the time to sit in the chat with me, Jeff.
Hey, my pleasure.
I really appreciate that. Would you mind just for the audience just introducing yourself, how long you've been at Microsoft, what your role is, and what you're passionate about for the last while?
Thank you. I'm Jeff Woolsey. I'm a Principal Program Manager Lead here in the Windows Server and Cloud Division on Hyper-V. I just celebrated 9 years here at Microsoft before that.
Wow.
Been working on virtualization even before that. So virtualization is very much my passion, private cloud very much my passion, and I'm just thrilled to be able to finally be able to tell everybody what we're doing in Windows Server 8 Hyper-V. It's the culmination of many, many years of really solid work across Windows Server, across the Windows organization, not only in Hyper-V, but really across the division in storage and networking. A whole bunch of teams have contributed, and it really shows in this release.
Well, I can definitely say that you've been closely guarding a lot of stuff, so I'm glad to finally be able to have a larger disclosure about
yes.
what's going on for this happy day of release for beta. For is it Server 8? Is that what we're is it beta release? Is it
it's,
the VNext?
It's the Windows Server quote unquote 8 beta release.
Okay, so I can use that in the blog post.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
And we have, honestly, we have a tremendous amount of new capabilities that we're releasing in the beta release. Mm-hmm. We released the developer preview release many months back at the Build conference. And back then, really, the goal was to focus on developers, to make mm-hmm. sure that the guys who needed to write device drivers, write to the new application model, guys that really needed first-hand access, focused on developers, were able to get access to Windows 8 client and server bits and do the things that they needed to do to really give them early access.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're coming back in the beta 8 time frame, and now we're focusing on our IT pros. We've got a much more finished product than we had at the developer preview time period, and honestly we're bringing out a tremendous amount of new capabilities or some features that were actually in the developer preview that you, for example, couldn't see or couldn't find because they were a little hidden or some of the UI was still under development.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wrote a number of things on the board because I knew I had the good opportunity to forget a bunch of things.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to start off was manageability.
Okay.
So one of the interesting kind of challenges that we have to deal with in server is that we have to be able to deliver a server to any type of scale. So here in my office, for example, and my apologies firsthand for my office, which is really a train wreck right now, but a server can sometimes be a single server. It could be sitting under someone's, you know, in someone's closet. Many times in a branch office, you know, it literally is, hey, some guy created a file server or a print server, stuck it in the closet, and that's their server.
Yep.
So you need a local UI, a local GUI for that for that type of deployment. Maybe over time you go, you know, have a larger deployment, maybe anywhere between 5 to 15 or 20, and you have a larger set of servers. Well, now you have a different type of management that you want to employ. You actually want to be able to manage across servers, but you may not be ready to take on full systems management, so you're looking for an interesting middle ground. And then finally, then there are these larger, real enterprise data center hosting cloud type solutions where you're talking about not just dozens, maybe hundreds or even thousands or even tens of thousands of servers
mm-hmm.
that you need to manage at a really large scale. Well, we have to provide a Windows Server that works in all of those types of deployments. So we have an interesting challenge from a manageability standpoint that we have to deliver Windows Server, whether it's a single server, whether it's in a small group, or whether it's cloud scale, to be able to provide a Windows Server that can deploy in all of those different environments.
So my first question, obviously, is have we done it?
Yes.
Yes,
we have absolutely done that in a very big way in Windows Server. And honestly, this is a really big change in terms of manageability for the server.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to be interviewing some folks on the PowerShell team, so I don't want to talk too much about PowerShell.
Okay.
But the key thing I want to point out is PowerShell is everywhere in Server 8.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you one quick metric, in Server 2008 R2, there was about 150 PowerShell commandlets in the entire box for everything. In Server 8, there's over 2,300 PowerShell commandlets in the box for pretty much everything you need to do,
mm-hmm.
from storage to Hyper-V to networking. It's just there. So it's a feature-rich platform, and it's really your engine for automation and orchestration. PowerShell's all there. But one of the new things we're adding is something that we didn't have back in the developer preview. One of the things we're adding here at the beta is kind of this interesting middle ground in terms of deployment. So back in Windows Server 2008 and 2008 R2, we introduced what we call Core.
Yep.
You installed Windows Server, and one of the things it would ask you at install time was, do you want a full install or a core install? A full install would give you the full GUI. You get, you know, shell, IE, you get a full rich interface. You know, it was the traditional server that people used to. Or you could do a core install. With a core install, you basically get just a command prompt. There's no GUI, there's no IE, there's literally nothing but a command prompt, and you're expected to manage it remotely. That was the plan. Well, over time, it's gotten better and better, and in fact, in Windows Server 8, it's gotten really fantastically awesome with the PowerShell and remoting enhancements we've made. Mm-hmm. But in addition, we know that there's some people that still may be a little hesitant to go to a full core deployment.
And currently, those guys are looked after with things like sconfig, or else with Core Configurator, another open source tool, to be able to go off and to manage that, that works off of
Core. Yeah, they'll look at a variety of different tools, or maybe they'll try and manage it remotely with System Center, but there's a bunch of different ways to kind of solve that problem. In Server 8, we wanted to really provide an easy way for people to go from full to a core, and provide kind of a minimal middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you install Windows Server 8, you can do a full install, but this allows you to configure the server, set up your devices, your drivers, and things like that. But maybe when you're done, you say, you know what? I'd like to remove the GUI completely.
Seriously?
So now you can remove the GUI.
Oh, wow.
So all of a sudden now, you did the full install because that's what you're comfortable with. But mm-hmm. you know what? You're actually going to end up managing this remotely anyways, either using the RSAT tools, the remote server administration tools remotely, or System Center. And so now you can remove the GUI. Or you can remove a portion of the GUI. So you can remove the shell, you can remove everything except Server Manager and the command prompt.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually gives you a nice middle ground, and it allows you to run with a reduced attack surface. Now, if you decide later, you know what, I need to make some changes to the server, and I don't know exactly how to do it from the command line because I haven't really learned all my PowerShell yet, you can go back, you can re-add the GUI, and go back to the full GUI.
Okay.
So what it really has done is, long-term, we know that the best way to manage a server is remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want people to move to a complete command line headless server that you're managing remotely, you know, on your tablet, your desktop, or your server remotely. And there's nothing actually running in terms of interface on the machine itself.
Mm-hmm.
But to get there, we want to provide an easy migration path. So that's a really cool new manageability offering that we're including in Windows Server 8.
Now, is this piece something that's new with the beta that wasn't available in the developer preview?
Or correct.
So this is a new thing completely.
Yes.
That's awesome.
This is new. So when you go to add remove features, you'll see an option there to remove the GUI. And yeah, it's really cool, and I've demoed it many times, and it's just a great new way, because from a server perspective, again, really the best way to do it is to manage it remotely.
Mm-hmm.
But we really want to wean people off thinking of, you know, I have to go to the server to manage it. We really want to change the way people manage their servers.
Awesome.
And to be able to do it at scale, you have to do it via PowerShell, and you have to be able to do it via automation. And this gets you on that road to real cloud computing there.
Wow. So that's definitely an awesome capability that you just mentioned.
Yes.
From your experience, the people that you've showed it to and that you've shared that with, their reaction has been in what, on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh,
one,
my gosh.
One being oblivious to it, and 10 being absolutely over the moon.
No, the reaction so far has been over the moon. I've only been able to show a few people so far because this has been tightly under wraps, but everyone I've shown it to said, where can I get that, please? So I know that we're looking forward to the feedback at beta.
Awesome.
So really it provides a great, again, a scalable management solution. So speaking of scale, one of the things I want to tell you is some of the scalability enhancements that have gone into Windows Server 8 beta.
Mm-hmm.
So we announced some enhancements at the developer preview. Just to kind of remind you what we announced we'd have virtual machines that support up to, this is for the developer preview,
mm-hmm.
we announced we'd have virtual machines that support up to 32 virtual processors,
mm-hmm.
up to 512 gigabytes of memory, up to 16 terabytes per virtual disk. So that's what we announced at the developer preview.
Which seemed absolutely massive at the time.
Massive. And customers have been thrilled. Analysts have been pleased. Everyone has been really over the moon with that. So now for the little surprise. I'm back to tell you those numbers are going up in a very big way.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to, with the Windows Server 8 beta, we will still have 32 virtual processors, But memory now goes up to 1 terabyte of memory per virtual machine. So we've doubled it from the developer preview, which mm-hmm. was 512 gigabytes. We're now saying 1 terabyte of memory per VM with the Windows Server 8 beta. And in terms of virtual disks, we already had this gargantuan size. At developer preview, we announced support for 16 terabyte VHDs,
yep.
which was already 8 times everybody else. In the Windows Server 8 beta, the number is going up again by a factor of 4. So now we will support virtual hard disks up to 64 terabytes per virtual disk.
That's,
for those keeping score at home, that's 32 times anybody else in the industry.
Wow.
So
how do you have hardware to support this?
Some crazy huge virtual machines. These are leading the industry, and honestly, we had to go out and we had to make sure we had some really big scale-up systems to test all of this.
Wow. Now, are those in this building somewhere that I could see?
They're not here with me in 43. They're across
right
campus.
Under my desk. Yeah,
I don't have any sitting under my desk. But the real goal here is, honestly, we want to provide the best platform for cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever size that VM, you want to buy servers with huge amounts of memory, with gobs of memory, we want you to be able to do that, carve it up into those VMs, or maybe you want to create huge VMs. It's your cloud on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to create a virtual machine with 32 virtual procs, 8 virtual procs, you name it, great, go for it. And we don't do any sort of taxation on any of that. Run as many virtual procs as you want, run as much memory as you want, go to town, and our virtual disks, just by far the biggest in the industry.
Wow.
In terms of cluster size, we announced, and just to remind everybody, we support the largest clusters in the industry. We support up to 64 cluster nodes
mm-hmm.
In a cluster, and up to 4,000 virtual machines in a single cluster.
Wow.
So for those guys developing either a large enterprise building their own private cloud, or for a hosting partner that wants to build a great hosting private cloud based on our Microsoft private cloud on Hyper-V and System Center, you've got the fantastic foundation in here in terms of scale, in terms of cloud.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to point out, in addition to some of the things we've done in clustering, is a brand new capability called cluster-aware updating.
Okay.
So what cluster-aware updating allows you to do is really, honestly, this is just a phenomenal feature. We now allow you to orchestrate and patch your entire private cloud. So think about this for a second. You want to create a 64-node cluster, okay? And you need to go patch all of those host nodes. Well, today, you could use a variety of methods. You could manually go live migrate the VMs off and then patch it and reboot and migrate the VMs and, you know, go through node by node. In Server 8, this is all built in. In Server 8, we will now go through the entire cluster and patch all of your hosts for you. So for example, I can have a 64-node cluster, and I can set up a schedule. Maybe the last Friday or the last Saturday of every month, I say, cluster, let's go and patch that entire, let's go patch all the hosts, all my Hyper-V hosts. And what it will do is it'll go to Server 1, it'll live migrate the VMs off, it'll download all the patches, it'll install all the patches, reboot the server, live migrate VMs, and go through every node in the cluster automatically.
So this is like a maintenance routine, basically, that's able to be done. It's a schedule GUI interface or a PowerShell interface to be able to set this kind of thing up?
Well, you said GUI or PowerShell. The answer is both.
Oh, nice.
You could do this via PowerShell, or there's a full, nice, easy to walk through GUI to configure this. And if you decide, you know what, I don't want to schedule this, I want to do this right now because I happen to be in the office on a Saturday, you can go through it and immediately say, okay, let's just do it right now. But it provides you an orchestrated way to put all your servers in maintenance mode, walk through all of them, live migrate all your VMs so there's no downtime to any of your workloads, patch all of the servers, bring them back up, in an orchestrated and automated fashion.
And this is out of the box.
This is all in Windows Server 8.
So it's no add-on. You don't have to buy System Center to be able to do this.
This is no add-on.
To be able to do this.
This is
workbook.
No add-on. This is all key core capabilities built into Windows Server 8.
Wow.
So this is really a good example of the great work that's going on between the Hyper-V team and the clustering team, and to make sure that we've got a great end-to-end solution.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just one key new capability. And literally, I could sit here and talk with you for hours, and we'll still be just scratching the surface.
Okay, but you promised me that we'll be having a chance to have a chat again at some other point.
Oh, yeah. We'll
have to keep this to a semi-time frame.
Yeah. No, I know. I know we got a limited time today.
It's also getting darker outside. We both have families to go back
That's
to as
true.
Well. So.
That's true. So I, honestly, I've got a bunch of things here. So I'll just end with one more thing here, which is really complete VM mobility, I think, okay. is another key capability that we've added in Windows Server 8 Hyper-V. In the past, with Server 2008 R2, we have the ability to live migrate VMs from server to server. Mm-hmm. So today, with Windows Server 2008 R2, say you take 8 nodes, you put them in a cluster, and now I have a solution for both planned and unplanned downtime. I can live migrate VMs from server to server, or I can yank out the power cable and the VMs will automatically restart on other cluster nodes without any sort of user intervention. Mm-hmm. In Windows Server 8, we took this to the absolute most possible extreme possible. So number one, we can now live migrate, yes, but now we can do it concurrently. And in fact, there are no limits. You want to live migrate 2 VMs, 4 VMs, 10 VMs simultaneously, mm-hmm. go for it. Okay. In the past, we did one at a time.
Yep.
Now we can do as many concurrently as your hardware will allow. If you have gigabit Ethernet, maybe it's 2, maybe it's 4, but it's really going to be limited by gigabit Ethernet. If you've got 10 gigabit Ethernet, then maybe we can do 8, 10, 12. If you've got multiple 10 gigabit NICs, guess what? We can do even more.
Oh, wow.
And the important thing to understand is we specifically wanted this to not have any limits because, you know, 10 is where the industry is moving now, but 40 is just over the horizon, and we know it's only going to get faster. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that when you build your private cloud today, we're already thinking about the future, and Hyper-V is ready to scale on that next generation hardware that's just over the horizon. So, you know, concurrent live migrations is all in the box. In addition, we now support SMB file shares. So now you can put your virtual machines up on a file share. I can live migrate VMs from server to server, and I can do it with clustering or without clustering. So now I have some choice. And the option you have to think about it is, you know, do I need planned downtime and unplanned downtime, or is this just a VM mobility scenario? So for example, in a test dev environment, you may not care about high availability. Mm-hmm. I don't need a cluster. I'll just stick my VMs up and I can live migrate it from tester to tester. If I decide though, you know what, I actually do want high availability, great, enable clustering, and now you have a solution for planned and unplanned downtime, and we're able to do it on a low-cost file share. So that's a solution. Also in Windows Server 8, we're introducing live storage migration. So now, with live storage migration, the virtual machine stands still. It sits on a server running, but the storage is moving from maybe one SAN to another, mm-hmm. or from direct attached storage to file, or from a SAN to a file, or SAN to SAN. You know, it can move all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of really interesting scenarios that you can do with live storage migration. Number one, for SAN leasing. So you've got a new SAN coming in, you're going to retire your old SAN, and so you want to move those VMs over, but you want to do it with no downtime. You can do that now with live storage migration. Or say, for example, you need to take a SAN array down to do some management. Maybe you want to add some more storage or add some more capabilities or upgrade a firmware, and you want to move the virtual disks off to some low-cost direct attached storage or to a file server temporarily and move it back. You can do that all without downtime. So that enables a whole bunch of really great new scenarios with live storage migration. And then finally, we really went after the holy grail of live migration. This is something that, you know, I remember being asked about this a few years back, someone saying, boy, you know, someday, I don't think you guys could ever do it, but wouldn't it be really cool if you could live migrate a VM from one machine to another machine without any shared storage, or without any clustering, or nothing, just an Ethernet cable, wouldn't that be cool? Mm-hmm. Well, we think so, too. We think that'd be really cool. And in fact, that's exactly what we put into Windows Server 8. Windows Server 8 Hyper-V includes a new feature called Shared Nothing Live Migration. Shared Nothing Live Migration is quite simply the ability to live migrate a VM with nothing but an Ethernet cable. I have here in my office a bunch of systems here. They are nothing at all alike whatsoever. different processors, different motherboard types, completely different. And I live migrate VMs between these all the time. For giggles the other day, I took a VM, I live migrated up in my office here. I'm on the first floor in this building. I migrated up to a server on the fourth floor. I then live migrated it to a server on the second floor. I then live migrated it to a server three buildings over across the street. I then live migrated it two streets over to another building, and then I live migrated it back to my office. No SAN, no shared storage, no clustering, no nothing but an Ethernet cable.
Wow.
And so what this really enables is complete VM mobility, gives folks complete flexibility about how they want to move their VMs. In addition, it also creates some new interesting scenarios that there are no solutions for. For example, today, you can't live migrate a VM between clusters. Mm-hmm. There's no way to do it. No one has a solution, whether it's VMware or us or Zen, doesn't matter. We do. With shared nothing live migration in 8 now, we can literally live migrate VMs between clusters because, again, there's no dependency on shared storage. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of new interesting scenarios that we're creating with Windows Server 8 Hyper-V. And again, everything I've talked to you about, this is all in the box. It's all there.
So they'll be able to download it from the eval center, download it from MSDN / TechNet, whatever it happens to be for where they happen to get the source for. Plop it onto a USB stick, boot off of it, be able to install it on commodity hardware, laptop hardware, server class hardware, and start to play with it immediately to be able to try it.
Please.
And then turn on the metrics to be able to feed us back
yes.
the information.
This is an absolute no-brainer, folks.
Yeah.
Let me be very clear. This is a no-brainer. Get your hands on Windows Server 8. Get your hands on the beta. Start deploying this in your test labs. This isn't a, hey, I'm going to wait around for this for a few months. No, you want to get your hands on this immediately. This is quite honestly, this is the biggest server release. I know it's the biggest server release since I've been at Microsoft, and mm-hmm. I could easily say this has been the biggest server release since Windows 2000 and then some.
Yeah.
This thing is feature rich. And again, we've been talking for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even scratched the surface, not even close. This is just a few features included in Hyper-V. There's literally dozens, if not hundreds more, just in Hyper-V. We haven't even talked about storage, networking, scalability, more manageability, the other roles, whether it's remote desktop services, VDI, the file server, SMB, NFS. I mean, this is an extremely feature-rich server release. And just there's literally treasures throughout this release, and again, we could sit here and talk for hours and still just scratch the surface of this release.
So I call that lots of material, lots of follow-up options.
Lots of follow-up here.
I do want to hit you up for one more thing, though, that you skipped over top on your list, perhaps, or maybe only briefly touched on it, was the Hyper-V replica.
Yes.
Because that's definitely something that I do want to bring out and find out a bit more from your perspective on it. Is Hyper-V replica involved in any of the scenarios that you talked about so far, or is it something completely different?
No, Hyper-V replica, I haven't even gotten to this, Hyper-V replica is, again, a brand new feature capability built into Windows Server 8. Essentially, what Hyper-V replica is, it's asynchronous, application-consistent, virtual machine replication built into Windows Server 8. So the thing you have to remember is, you know, if you look at some of the biggest areas that people are interested in is protecting their data, mm-hmm. obviously. You know, you've got core IP. When I think about one of the disasters that has long stuck with me has been Hurricane Katrina. I remember seeing that and watching that, and the thing that always kind of dawned on me about Hurricane Katrina was, number one, the epic scope of it. It was a $110 billion disaster. Over 1,000 people lost their lives. Over 80,000 businesses were either severely impacted or destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tremendous, tremendous impact. There are people to this day, years, years later, that are still trying to recover from Hurricane Katrina. And there are some companies that have been able to rebuild and come back. And there are many that have tried to come back and lost everything, their core IP. And there are a couple things that really strike me. Number one, hurricanes, in the case of Hurricane Katrina, we knew it was coming for almost a week. It wasn't something that, you know, immediately hit out of nowhere, not like an earthquake. I grew mm-hmm. up in California, so I know what earthquakes are all about. There's very little warning there. In the case of Hurricane Katrina, we knew it was coming for many, many, many days. And still, people lost everything. I mean, imagine if someone said, by the way, next week your house is going to catch on fire and burn down to the ground. Are you prepared for that? And when we think about, you know, disasters and preparedness for these types of things, I look at how can we make this situation better for everyone. And so in the case of Replica, we took a very long look at how can we provide disaster recovery type capabilities, really VM replication capabilities, so that people could really save their IP, protect their data, protect their businesses, protect and give them the ability to recover from such a massive outage or disaster. With Replica, quite simply, this allows us to replicate VMs from site to site. You know, it could be from here, my office, to another office, could be from Seattle to another part in Seattle, could be Seattle to Bellevue, could be Seattle to Texas, could be Seattle, New York, because we designed Hyper-V Replica to be an asynchronous solution that allows us to really stretch those distances very far. And one of the goals, really quite simply, is we want to provide VM replication capabilities for everyone. If you look at disaster recovery type capabilities today, generally what you'll find is it does not exist in the small market, it does not exist in branch office, it does not exist in medium, it exists in the enterprise. Then when you talk in the enterprise, it's only specific workloads. You know, so say someone has 1,000 servers, well maybe out of those 1,000, 15 of them are protected. You know, if this building burns down, great, we've got a solution for a small fraction of these. So in some enterprises we see it, as well as some key verticals like government, healthcare, finances. But again, they very much pick and choose which workloads they're going to provide some sort of replication solution to. With Hyper-V Replica, we want to be able to go back and provide greater coverage, greater replication capabilities for those other workloads that have never been protected. We want to introduce replication to customers in small, medium, branch, and those workloads in enterprise that have never been replicated because, quite simply, they couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the storage requirements, or it was too complex. By providing this capability in the box, making it easy to use, and providing literally unlimited replication in Windows Server 8, we think we have a really fantastic ability to change the way customers protect their data and really provide our customers a much better solution. So there's a lot more to that, but at a high level, that's really the goal of Replica, is really we want to change the way people protect their data and provide more people the opportunity, the ability to recover in such tragic disasters.
And that's also in the beta release?
The beta release. That's also built in. It's a feature of Hyper-V. Go start creating some VMs, and you'll see there's a feature. You right-click on a VM and click on Enable Replication, mm-hmm. and there you go. So that's also built into Windows Server 8.
How about, in closing, just a point on where people can go off on the public side of things to be able to go off and find all the really cool, great stuff on the virtualization side of things, the Hyper-V side of things, blogging-wise or elsewhere?
We have a lot of different resources. Number one, I always tell people, start with TechNet.
Yep.
TechNet is the key location for our IT pros, documentation, PowerShell, sample scripts, great place. MSDN as well for developers, more code samples, more in-depth documentation there as well. We also have key blogs on the client side. They have the Building Windows 8, Steven Sanofsky's blog. Mm-hmm. And on the Windows Server side, we've got a Windows Server blog as well that we've been going into depth on a variety of different topics. And you're going to see us accelerate and be talking about a lot more of that now that we're hitting the beta milestone.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And end of the day, so I'll let you go. And I look forward to talking with you again, Jeff.
Excellent. Thank you.
Cheers.